want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. But it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about some helps toward prayer. We were talking about intercessory prayer, praying for other people, and I was thinking of a story that I heard from a New York City policeman. I asked him to tell me some stories of his most exciting experiences, and he told me where about a time when he had to go to a certain house in a neighborhood that had reported disturbances in this house. And so he went, and there was a wild party going on, and a lot of drinking and a lot of drugs, and a kid with a gun. And the kid jumped up and pointed the gun straight at him, and the cop was just as fast as the kid, and he had his gun out, and they eyeballed each other, and the policeman arrested the young man. There wasn't any shooting. But he said to me, I came as close to shooting a man then as I've ever done in my life. And I said, would you have shot him? He said, there's no question about it. He said, you have to be ready to use the gun. But he said, when we got to the station house, the kid was trembling and pale and sweating, realizing how close he had come either to having shot me or having been shot. And I said to him, are you a Christian? And the kid said, no. And I said, but you have a Christian praying for you, don't you? And he looked down, and he didn't say anything for a minute. And then he said, yeah, my grandmother. And the policeman, who was a Christian, of course, began to talk to the young man about what a close shave he had just had. And the boy said to him, you would have shot me, wouldn't you? And the policeman said, yes, I would have. How did you know? He said, I could see it in your eye. And the policeman said to him, do you know who stopped either one of us from shooting? It was God, and God has something to say to you, young man, and your grandmother has been praying that you would listen. Well, I don't know the end to that story, but to me it was of enormous significance that at that crucial point, that boy remembered that he had a praying grandmother. Do you suppose that grandmother had ever had any doubts, such as you and I have, that her prayers weren't doing any good, that God wasn't listening? Here are some helps to prayer for those of you that find it as difficult as I do. Lessons from my father to begin with. Number one, arrange for prayer. A time, a place, some quiet, and a position. In other words, arrange an altar somewhere. I don't mean that you physically have to set up an altar, but let the altar be your time and place and position. Most of us, if we're really serious about it, can arrange for this. But then, maybe there's a boy in a dormitory at school. He can't get any place alone. Maybe there's a family living in a very crowded tenement apartment house. There's no way that anybody can get alone. A mother surrounded by young children. I would remind you of Susanna Wesley's custom. When she was surrounded by her children, she had given birth to 19, she said she threw her apron over her head. And a sailor on a crowded ship said that his quiet time and quiet place was just when he put his hat over his face. There are ways of arranging for it, if we will. My father had a little study, and before he went to bed at night, he would arrange his Bible and his notebook and his pencils and his prayer lists on the desk. He would be down there between 4:30 and 5 every morning, and we knew when we had come to breakfast that our father had had his quiet time, his altar. The second thing that I would strongly urge is that you have a hymn book. an old hymn book, if possible, and there are many written prayers in those hymns, which will be a tremendous help to you if you will use them as prayers. Maybe some of you have an old prayer book. Don't hesitate to use the prayers of somebody else. God doesn't think you're being insincere because you can pour into those words, which perhaps say better than what you would have been able to say yourself. You can pour into those words your own meaning out of your own situation. Hymns and written prayers lift us out of ourselves and our own teeny-weeny circle of often selfish and silly concerns, and remind us of Him to whom we come. If you don't have either a hymn book or a prayer book, open your Bible to Psalm 139, or Psalm 143, or 84, or 103. All of those are great prayers into which you can pour your own heart and soul and meaning. Psalm 103 is probably very familiar to many of you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And then there are those wonderful prayers from the epistles. Paul praying for the Ephesians, for example, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the all-glorious Father, will give you spiritual wisdom and the insight to know more of Him, that you may receive that inner illumination of the Spirit, which will make you realize how great is the hope to which He is calling you, the magnificence and splendor of the inheritance promised to Christians, and how tremendous is the power available to us who believe in God. The epistles have many prayers in them. Do you know St. Francis's prayer? O Lord, make me an instrument of Thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. O Lord, grant me not so much to seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born again unto eternal life. One of my favorite prayers, written prayers, is from Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace, who brought back from the dead that great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus, by the blood of the everlasting agreement, equip you thoroughly for the doing of His will. May He effect in us everything that pleases Him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Often I don't know what to pray for people who are on my list, and so I pray these two petitions, that the Lord Jesus may equip them thoroughly for the doing of His will, and effect in them everything that pleases Him through Jesus Christ. And I got that prayer straight out of Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. The third help to prayer is a notebook. This can be the raw material. Start where you are. Make a list of the things that you need to pray about in your household, your children, your job, your fears, your needs. Record the dates of asking and the date of receiving. Have three columns on the page, one for the request, one for the date of asking, one for the date of receiving. You'll be amazed what a tremendous help to faith that will be. It'll be sort of a spiritual diary of the way you've walked with God and the way God has met you. So by all means, keep a notebook. Number four, never mind how you feel. Your feelings are really not very important. Don't quit because it seems a hollow mockery. Just use the words of the psalmist, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." When he says to us, "Seek ye my face," let our answer be, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." Never mind the feelings. Number five, remind yourself that you are participating in the work of Christ. He fills up what is lacking. I love these words from Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. The Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness. We do not even know how we ought to pray, but through our inarticulate groans, the Spirit Himself is pleading for us. And God, who searches our inmost being, knows what the Spirit means, because He pleads for God's people in God's own way. Aren't those wonderful words? He comes to the aid of our weakness. There's nothing like praying to reveal our weakness. The sixth thing that helps me, put yourself quietly in His presence. Ask Him to help you pray. You can use the words of the psalm, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." Then believe that He hears you. If there are interruptions, don't fret. God knows all about the telephone. Go ahead and answer it. You can always come back. If your mind wanders, bring it back. If it wanders 100 times, bring it back 100 times if necessary. But you have put yourself quietly in His presence. Kneel or sit or stand. Do whatever you want to do. It's best to have a position in which you're not too likely to go to sleep. I wouldn't recommend that you lie flat on your back in bed. 6 things very quickly which are helps to prayer. 1, arrange for it. 2, use hymns or written prayers. 3, a notebook. 4, pay no attention to feelings. 5, remind yourself that you are participating in the work of Christ. And 6, put yourself in His presence.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.